The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 22nd of April, 2024. That means it's Earth Day, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. We've got lots to talk about this morning. I am hoping that the Director of Communications at the Office of the Prime Minister will join me today. We had to postpone our discussion from last week, so we give him some time to see if he is able to join us this morning. In that instance, we will be talking about crime. Let's get the news started. I've got some topics to talk about, lots of things in the newspaper. Let's call it an open line Monday. Numbers to call: 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for our Family Island listeners. It is toll free. As a quick note, I'm going to pick this up again in the sports segment, but let's say congratulations to Michael Major Jr. Major Jr. is at it again. Major Jr. is a student at Howard University. And this weekend, Howard University competed against Morgan State University in a conference. And our very own Michael Major Jr. played the Rookie of the Year, 2023 Rookie of the Year, and let's just say he ousted him. He did a fabulous job. He won doubles and singles, and his team, Team Howard, beat Team Morgan State 4-3. Michael Major Jr. heads to the MEAC Championships next weekend in North Carolina. Just say congratulations, Michael Major Jr. Now, before even looking at today's paper, I had a headline. How many accidents occurred this weekend? How many accidents occurred this weekend? I see in today's, when I opened up today's Tribune, they decided to answer my question. So we're going to go into that in a second. Joining me this morning, good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning this morning, Erin. Wow, it was a lot of fatalities this weekend in terms of traffic.
Listen, I was paying attention to the social media, so you know, Beyonce's internet, and I saw lots of advertisements for an event called Collide. And I just want to say to the organizers of the event, find a different name. Let's not call it Collide next time. We just want to. It's an experiment. Mm-hmm. It's a social experiment. Mm-hmm. I just want to see what would happen if you did. Because after that event, there were a lot of collisions on New Providence Road. I saw a video, and I'm hoping that we get a traffic report. We get a report from the police specifically on that matter, because the chaos that I saw in that short video was unbelievable. I was really hoping Mr. Ramming, Latre Ramming, would be joining us today, because one of the questions I wanted to ask was, can the OPM present to the public a RBPF, that's Road Traffic Department, Ministry of Works, Ministry of Energy and Transport, policing strategy? But in particular, after seeing videos from the crowd inside the event and the aftermath, I wondered, is it time for us now to have a policing strategy, traffic strategy, specific for large events, festivals, concerts? In a strategy to move traffic away from the venue safely, considering the large numbers of people consuming alcohol at these events, that there needs to be a breathalyzer unit stationed outside the event where officers can test individuals if they observe them attempting to drive a vehicle and they appear to be under the influence. See, we want people to make money. We want people to have fun. But we require systems to manage these activities to minimize any negative impact on the wider society or the community the venue is in, and to save lives. Let's go to the phone line before we get into this story. Police say traffic deaths unusually high as two more die over weekend. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron Green. Good morning, Neri.
Good morning. How you do?
I'm doing fine. I want to say happy Earth Day. And I'm glad we promoting, continue to plant trees and continue to plant grass and other stuff in our waters. You know what I mean, eh?
Yeah,
I like what Florida doing and their habitats. They're planting more mangroves.
Right.
And trees.
Well, and I think when we say plant more trees, we need to be a bit more specific. I agree with you. We need to focus on planting mangroves, right?
Native tree toes.
Native trees as well, but not, right, like there's a question. Are we planting fruit trees because we desire fruit?
No, we're not, because the major fruit you and me and your parents grew up on, they're not popular like the native grape trees.
Mm-hmm. Sea grape, native grape vines.
You're right, you don't hardly see the grapes. Also, canaps, you see them in Fox Hill and tamarind, but tamarind used to be scornful all over the islands, all over New Providence.
Mm-hmm. Two things.
Remember that?
Absolutely. In fact, pumpkin eater, I'm tracking that, right? As an agribusiness consultant.
Right.
One of the things that I'm doing is tracking fruit production. A couple of issues going on. We have unregulated development going on. In the area that's unregulated is there's no environmental intersection where we are ensuring that when we do build and when we do clear land, that we are not destroying valuable plant species.
That would be doing. You know, back then, the law used to be for that. Any poor people do construction, certain trees they could not cut down.
The law still exists. There are these things called
enforcing it.
Enforcement. There's this thing called protected trees. Recently,
yes.
I woke up to hear the sound of large machinery, and when I went outside, I realized that a team of people were cutting my silk cotton tree. There was no notice. There was no attempt to identify the owner to give them notice. There was no attempt to identify the owner to give them time to cut the tree themselves. There was no indication of anything except what was very clear is that I should just shut up and mind my own business.
And that's why local government would solve all of that. The community would not let them do it.
Thank you, Pumpkin Eater.
Have a good day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We talk a bit more about Earth Day, but the point that Pumpkin Eater raised about planting more green things, there are still lots of questions to be asked. First of all, planting, like I say, fruit trees because we want fruit, or are we planting trees that need to be in that area, trees that enhance that landscape, right, that help to retain soil on the ground, trees that provide shade, all manner, and then mangroves, this mangroves discussion presents to us an amazing opportunity to critically interrogate many other aspects of life in the Bahamas, in particular, issues around tourism, because right now there's this tension, the struggle between those who want clean, pristine beaches and those who want mangroves, because mangroves are vital to land retention, soil retention, dune retention. Producer, I go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you do?
Man, everything good. CA, what's going on?
Blessings to you, man.
All right. Aaron, what time you say Anton Thompson coming on? Because I have a couple of questions for him. What time he coming on?
No, man. I indications, but he has not assumed that position yet.
You're dying him?
No,
Is he in the director of communication in the office of the prime minister?
No, sir.
I didn't have my questions ready for him. I could have sworn that's the director of communication in the office of the prime minister. Could have fooled me.
I love the shade.
Anyhow, let me put my questions together for whoever coming there. Who you have coming there? Because I thought it was Anton.
No. I'm hoping that Mr. Ramin can find time in his schedule this week after having.
He is the director of communication? Wow.
Yes, sir.
I could have sworn that was Anton.
I thought it was Mr. Mitchell. I thought it was Mr. Mitchell, but...
Either one of them.
Yes, sir.
Either one of them, because they like Mike. They love Mike.
Yes, sir.
Anyhow, all right. Y'all have a nice day, man. Yes, yeah. You're big a link up.
Blessings.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. In honor of Earth Day, a little shade, sir.
I like that, too.
For us to cool ourselves down in and under. Okay, let's get to this story. We get back to Earth Day in a minute. Although, Mr. Newry, I do want to... There is an interesting insight, I think, editorial in today's Tribune. And the headline, I think, is Earth Day 2024, another squandered opportunity. Given the amount of resources diverted to this new climate change platform, is it oddly conspicuous that there are no widely publicized National Earth Day activities taking place today?
Don't worry. Last minute, we can do it. That ain't hard to do. We'll plant some tree someplace.
True.
Okay. Somewhere.
No problem. We talk about that a little later. Let's get to this headline. Police say traffic deaths unusually high as two more die over weekend. Two people were killed in a car crash during a weekend that recorded more than a dozen traffic accidents. Police said the number of accidents over the weekend, 16 up to press time, was not unusual. I want to stick a pin there. 16 recorded accidents, right? That's what you mean, 16 reported accidents. But the number of traffic deaths so far this year, 20, is unusually high. Authorities are urging drivers to slow down and exercise caution. The traffic deaths happened around 2 a.m. yesterday on West Bay Street, where a silver-colored Nissan March and a white BYD vehicle collided. Both drivers, a Filipino national and a 46-year-old Bahamian identified as Donald DeVoe, had to be extracted from their vehicles with jaws of life and were pronounced dead on the scene. Condolences to their... And so while the newspaper reports this accident, I saw video footage of another accident involving what appeared to be a white sedan and a black... It appeared to be a black vehicle, but a vehicle that appeared to be black was, to use the word, crumpled. Superintendent Karan Jennings, second in command of the Royal Bahamas Police Force Traffic Division, said the number of traffic fatalities this year is concerning. I want to stick another pin. When they are quoted as saying, but the number of traffic deaths so far this year, 20, is unusually high. Maybe unusually high, but I want to make this point. Saying that it is unusually high, let us not discount that from last year's traffic statistics and this year's traffic statistics, it's not unexpected, is it? Because when you say it's unusually high, I also want us to have the conversation about what we can predict, forecast, and expect after we interrogate or assess the data that we already have. I'm concerned when these officers responsible express what appears to be shock. Because anybody who is paying attention to the space could have told you that it's likely these numbers are going to be this high. If you have major concerts and events that serve alcohol, but you don't have policing strategies to minimize any potential recklessness, carelessness on the road post that event. See, Mr. Nuri, remember I told you I have this concern about these new ride share companies? Mm-hmm. For many reasons. One, because every video I've seen, advert I've seen, that presented a driver, a staff member conducting the service, they either were not wearing a seatbelt or had a cell phone in their hand. The second concern is the procedural or protocol issues in terms of insurance. There's only one advert I've seen that's indicated that the candidates must have a public service license. Hmm. Only one.
Sunday was busy for Bay Street. They had several cruise ships in.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, all the tour operators were out. This week, I've seen several new tour buses.
Mm-hmm.
And these tour buses are open air tour buses. There aren't any seatbelts inside these open air tour buses. And I see three different variation of it.
Mm-hmm.
None had seatbelts. And I'm thinking, if they ever collide in anything, these people are getting ejected out.
Because, and not just getting ejected out, but in terms of our laws, I think that every passenger must wear a seatbelt.
According to our laws.
Now, remember when we were talking about the boating industry and insurance matters that arose with the enactment of new legislation requiring tour operators to get local insurance, right? And in that discussion, set out that for the last couple of decades, they have been operating under an agreement where the cruise industry would facilitate access to insurance from companies outside of this jurisdiction.
Mm.
Are these tour buses, are these vehicles that are being allowed to operate without the proper use of seatbelts, are they covered under a policy emanating from outside of this jurisdiction? Because it's one thing to say, we look at the safety, the immediate safety of the passenger in case of an accident. You're looser on a bus when you're not driving, you're on vacation, you're probably drinking. That's one aspect. But what about the insurance concerns in case something happens?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure we're taking it seriously enough. And so I think what I would like to see from the state post-haste, given the large number of fatalities on the road, the increasing number of accidents, no substantive response to the issue of drivers operating vehicles uninsured, I would like to see a collaborative policing strategy that involves RBPF, Road Traffic Department, Ministry of Works, Ministry of Energy and Transport Form, and the insurance agents, the insurance industry, and the insurance industry, so that the public can be aware of what the state's response is and how the public should prepare for that.
I'll go as far as some of the vehicles that I saw has no mechanism in place to even have a seatbelt as an option. How did they get the license to have a motorized vehicle?
With no seatbelt?
Without no seatbelt.
Right, and where is the legislation that would allow that? I've got a text here. Didn't you have a discussion about those shacks being built on Long Wharf with some government officials saying the shanty owners had no permit to build and had to move? I'm baffled as to who allowed these people to construct these shanty buildings on sand. They can't be serious because they're doing nothing to stop the blatant wild behavior on the road. Two texts there. I remember when fish fry was just supposed to be temporary.
Yeah.
Like, when I wanted to sell lemonade, I had to get in. It required me to, at the end of the day, remove any trace of my presence from said site. I remember when fish fry was supposed to be that type of scene, and now I'm being charged hotel restaurant prices for food in shacks on the sand. And I don't want to come off as being disrespectful, but you charging me brick and mortar prices at venues that don't have bathrooms.
We don't have bathrooms.
At venues that don't have bathrooms. I got another text here. Good morning. Do jitney passengers wear seatbelts? Do tour bus passengers wear seatbelts? No. Jitney passengers are supposed to wear seatbelts. And jitney buses are supposed to be outfitted with seatbelts. And passengers are supposed to attempt to put on the seatbelt or not ride the bus if it doesn't have a functioning seatbelt. And when a passenger brings that circumstance to the attention of the authorities responsible, they're supposed to act and do something about it.
I just want to reiterate the point, open-air tour buses.
Well, right. Open-air tour buses.
Yes, they have no roof and thing.
Well,
the open-air, yeah. I just want to remind the texter, again, these are open-air tour buses.
But I want to say to the texter again, let me say what my Grammy said. If all of your friends wanted to jump off the bridge, you can follow them and jump off the bridge?
Of course.
If you know that something is wrong, participate in it. And if you decide to continue to participate in it, why would you demand that people regard you as respectable citizens? You can do what you want, but don't demand that we accept this as normal or we just swallow it as acceptable. It's just not. The reason why I focus on the RBPF, Road Traffic, MOW, MOET, insurance policing strategy is because it is April the 22nd, 2024, and we are almost 5 years past the gazetting of the amendments to the Road Traffic Act, allowing people to turn left on red where there is a sign indicating they can do so. We've had a now former officer in charge of road traffic tell the public on the radio that first of all, we weren't aware of that part of the law. And second of all, we're not enforcing the law. That's where we are. And this weekend should be a clear indicator to all of those who have liability that something is wrong and it warrants a response from the state. Parkgate, Village Road, beautiful intersection, multiple lanes. The traffic light has a light for left turn. The traffic light on the northbound side, in the northbound lanes, on the southern side of Parkgate, there is a traffic light that turns green when you can turn left. You are not allowed to turn left on red there because you have a traffic signal for your left turn. Same thing at Prince Charles and Marathon intersection on the Marathon side, the southbound lane. There is a left turn light there. And if there's a light, that means that you cannot turn left on red when the light is red. Your left turn light turns red to indicate to you that you cannot turn left under any circumstances. Unless, of course, an emergency vehicle is indicating that you need to clear the intersection so they could come through. Yesterday I had the, I don't know if, I call it fortune because I need material for my jokes, but I had the unfortunate that I had to witness 5 vehicle police officers who just wasn't paying attention. There's no concern for how the light's supposed to work at that intersection. Text says, I agree with you on safety and seatbelts being worn, but the relevant authorities allow these vehicles in. They are licensed and insured. So who do we blame? I just tell you, I blame us for not demanding better. But Aaron, you cannot construct a shanty building on sand. What? On sand. Suppose a storm system come next week. That Long Wharf area gets some strong ocean waves and the sand gets pushed in by the truckload way past the road. These same people are going to be crying about how they lose everything. My concern is that's why it's been allowed to happen. Don't worry about them. A big wave can come and knock them down in a moment. But that's not the way we should be governing. That is not healthy for the Bahamas. But let me get back into this article, Mr. Newry. By this time of the year, we don't have those kind of numbers. In the majority of our fatalities, speed was a factor, and we always encourage the public to slow it down, he told the Tribune yesterday. It doesn't matter what time of day it is, whether it's night or day, you should still adhere to the speed limit. Not because it's dark and the road is empty means you exceed the speed limit, and I think that played a big factor in that fatality based on the damage we saw. Superintendent Jennings said none of the weekend accidents appeared connected to popular parties or events. Okay. From what we see on a daily basis, we would have up to 15 to 20 traffic accidents ranging from serious to minor on a daily basis. In total, from Saturday to now, there was about 16 accidents, and it's going to be more at the end of the day. I can't say by how much, but that's a normal number. It's almost like y'all accepting this. By May 31st, 2023, 22 people had been killed in traffic accidents, prompting Transport Minister Jo Beth Colby Davis to call the trend, quote, worrying, close quotes. The country is already exceeding that pace in 2024. Ultimately, there were 51 traffic fatalities in 2023, down from 59 in 2022. There were 46 traffic fatalities in 2021. In 2022, there were 10,586 road accident reports. There were 11,023 such reports in 2023. So at the end of the year, we got the stats from the 1,000-plus reported accidents, but we see after further assessment of the figures, 11,023 reports. Road accident reports in 2023. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Aaron.
Morning.
Morning again. The call back is saying not all the buses in the Chickney bus required to have seats, only the 2-4 seats. Because when I used to, as a person in a wheelchair, this put me either the back of the driver that have seatbelt, but all the areas do need to have seatbelt. Now, it depends on where they buy the buses from in the state. Some states are fully seat-belted.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Pumpkin Eater.
Yes, wanted to help you out there.
But I'm sure they can't have a law for cars, for vehicles that were made in the states, and a law for vehicles.
No, the cars are different.
Yeah.
Remember, there was a, if you go online, there was a new amendment to the seatbelt. Remember, the Seatbelt Act was amended. That was headed by the Honorable Miss Glennis. She's one who had that bill.
What did the amendment create in law?
Pardon me?
What did the amendment create in law or take away from the law?
Well, you got to look at it, because I know in the bus, even in our Chase bus, that the 2-4 are there, 2-4 seats, and the rest. Even the Chickney up, the private buses follow the same act. But you can check it out. You can even Google it at the Seatbelt Act. It was a couple of years ago, not that long.
We don't have a Seatbelt Act, Pumpkin Eater, but thank you.
I mean, you know, your father, we do have an amendment back then. I mentioned it by the Minister of Education now.
But you mean the amendment that said that you're required to wear a seatbelt if you're in the car?
It gave the rules for the seatbelt.
Right, that you were required, if you're in a vehicle, you're required to wear a seat belt.
Now, you say vehicle, you mean the buses or the cars? Yeah, in the cars.
Pumpkin Eater, you called the show to talk about the amendment, you know. Do me a favor.
I was helping you with the bus.
No,
you
do me.
The buses earlier.
Pumpkin Eater, do me a favor.
Uh-huh. Well, we could do it, yeah.
I can't look it up right now while I'm on air, right, Pumpkin Eater?
I extend to you.
Thank you, Pumpkin Eater.
All right.
I prefer that you look it up, and then when you call in, you reference it by reading from it directly. Since you want to talk about it, I don't have... Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning. How you doing?
I am good, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good stuff.
I guess I'm a little shady to say.
Okay, remember now.
No, not like that. Not in that
okay.
Not accusing no one of
good stuff, good stuff.
Or anything.
Yeah.
I just want to say... Like, I just listen to a lot of talk shows, and the talk show host will be arguing points without checking the laws first.
Mm-hmm.
But the man telling you that's not correct. You don't need to, only the driver of the bus and the passenger seated next to the driver needs to wear seatbelt. That's the law in the Bahamas, in the United States, probably other countries also. But sometimes when you're going to argue a point, just check out what you're going to argue about first, and then, you know. Thank you.
That's what you meant by being shady? Don't go. You gonna go now? You gonna leave?
It wasn't that kind of shady, man.
I mean, it was that kind of shady, caller.
Huh?
It was that kind of shady.
All right.
No, don't go.
All right, I'm not going.
Okay, good stuff. So, are you a bus driver? Are you a bus user?
Nothing to do with bus. I've been on bus from high school. And I'm 50 years old now.
So what's the amendment? Give me the amendment so in the break I could go look up the law.
Like, you can't give you the amendment. You could just check out and find out.
I could just trust you, right?
I know of it, and I heard about it, and it is the law. I know to break in someone else's against the law, but I don't know which amendment. There you go.
Right. Thank you very much. Look at God. Look at how God reminds us to be both in the same place.
Yeah, you don't need to know the amendment to know that.
Thank you. Look at that. Look at God. Put the two of us under the same shady tree.
Yeah.
Have a wonderful day.
All right, you too.
Absolutely. I love it. You know those people who come on your post on Facebook and then tell you you're wrong and you need to be corrected, but they don't tell you what the mistake was? But you must stop what you're doing to go correct it? Look at God. Thank you, caller. The point that Mr. Newry was making is that there are open air, open roof vehicles that now have no seat belts. The point I am making is that I would like to strategy that is created in the collaboration between RBPF Road Traffic, Ministry of Works, Ministry of Energy and Transport, and the insurance industry to ensure that we are responding to the rapidly evolving vehicular traffic space, both terrestrial on land and marine in the water. That's what I am calling for today. Thank you, caller. Thank you, texter. Mr. Newry, I don't think the office of the OPM is going to join us this morning.
It could come on Wednesday.
I got a couple other stories here. This one is in today's Tribune. American man fined for heroin found at LPIA. An American man was fined $1,000 in the magistrate's court Friday after admitting to having 9 grams of heroin in his possession. Jordan Smith, 34, from Indiana, was arrested on Thursday after police found the drugs on him at the Lyndon Pinling International Airport. After Smith pleaded guilty to the offense, he was ordered to pay a fine of $1,000 or risk 3 months behind bars. Mr. Newry, that is in today's Tribune. It was posted online over the weekend. Now, I want to start here by saying, especially for you, about heroin. Okay, I don't know anything about it, except that it's a very dangerous substance if not managed or consumed properly. Now, when I say that, I know that heroin is opioid-based, and so that there are a lot of authorized, or there are a lot of medicines that are opioid-based, right? And you'd be surprised how many people may be on a prescribed opioid-based medicine. But other than that, I don't know nothing about heroin, but I wonder, $1,000 fine for 9 grams of heroin. That seems very light. Fine. $1,000 for 9 grams of heroin when some young people, some people in our country can spend months in jail for a small quantity of cannabis. But what strikes me even further is this was, he was stopped at the airport.
Mm-hmm. That's bold.
And the story doesn't indicate whether he was entering the country when he was detained. Mm. When he was detained. But $1,000 fine, $1,000 fine for being in possession of 9 grams of heroin at the airport seems light. Light is not the right word, but the right word is not coming to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's my thing. I want to juxtapose that now to the treatment of ordinary citizens that are found in possession of cannabis, a substance that is currently in the process of being decriminalized in some ways. But people are still going to jail for it.
Mm-hmm.
But this individual, I'm sorry, caller, call right back. This individual is getting $1,000 fine, for that matter. That's troubling to me. I wonder how the Rastafarians feel about it. Rasta leaders want free cannabis growing licenses. It's in today's Tribune as well.
I thought about talking about that, actually. But since you bring it up now, I think the Rastafarian community needs to understand what this law be, or it's going to be passed or proposed. And it's not for the selling of cannabis. They give leeway for Rastafarians to use cannabis for their
religious sacrament.
But not to have a store to be selling weed. Right? And I don't think they are appreciating what is being said, because they keep on bringing it up again and again and again. This cannabis thing we have, it is a medical marijuana. If they plan to open up some kind of pharmacy and get the permits and the licenses to open a pharmacy, then don't join this conversation. Sit small.
We'll pick it up either after this break or in your hour.
You know.
Absolutely. You're on the clock with Aaron Green on this World Earth Day.
Hmm.
April 22nd. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Mr. Newry, in that break, I looked at the cover of The Guardian again and I saw this headline, Karifta Committee Chair calls audit, quote, garbage, close quotes. I mean, we're doing that in the hour? Okay, never mind. I mean, we could go into it in the hour. We put both of those on tap for your hour.
Yeah, I have an open line on my hour. So we can discuss those theme too as a theme.
Well, let's get back to Earth Day, and there's a caller on the line. We go to the call. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning, Mr. Newry.
Morning.
Ms. Green, just to touch quickly, you said something about the license for the marijuana and different stuff. I think I heard them said that individuals will still need a religious license. I think they even said something about a religious license. So I don't think
to consume it, like to smoke it.
But I'm not sure exactly what the details are. But they were talking about a different type of licenses.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sure that they mentioned a religious license. So I don't think what CA was talking about in terms of there being some type of exclusion for like that type of use. But then they need some type of license if they want to sell it. I think they're still going to need some type of religious license, which, in my opinion, makes absolutely no sense because, I mean, you got to first show me why I'm being prohibited from using this thing in the first place. You know what I mean? For it, you know, other than, you know, it's going to be for financial gain for individuals. And I mean, that's ridiculous when considering the implications to everyone else. You know what I mean? I mean, just the taking away of individuals' freedoms and rights is too much, you know. But we live in a crazy town. I mean, every day it's something else. I mean, the matter with the sports money mix up. I know you too gotta admit that it's going on too long. I mean, there's no reason why it even reached us. I mean, this should have been something that soon as someone heard information that was refutable, they should have come out and just put it to end. I mean, why we gotta be like this? But since we talked about laws and different things and people looking up things properly, right? It just so happened that, because I've been asking the question about the authorization of IMPs to sell our essential services, and I based it on the grounds of, I felt the Constitution was a document that was supposed to protect the citizens' rights, right, and protect them from their government, so that their government is unable to do whatever they want to do and lead the people in the predicaments that were, you know, unjust. That's what I thought it was about.
Okay,
right?
Did you say MPs selling essential services?
Yes, ma'am.
What do you mean by that?
Like how Batelco...
Options divesting of...
Yes, ma'am.
Entities and corporations, okay.
Yes, ma'am. Like I said, I thought that the Constitution was a document that would protect the public from acts like that. And I mean, if you notice, the government is unable to do everything it wants because for some things, for constitutional adjustments or reforms, they still have to come to the public and get a referendum on certain things. Right?
Yes.
So I felt as if that for such a thing as big
that,
as
that's
like
breach
that.
Of a it's a breach of our constitutional rights.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, I wasn't saying. I just trying to say I was wondering, and I was trying to give you my reason and why I thought so. Because then to sell off an essential service would put it into the private hands of someone, right?
Right.
And I mean that would mean that the public is then able to be held hostage by a private entity whom they are unable to hold accountable, or who is unaccountable, who doesn't have to be accountable to the public. So that's a dangerous situation. So I mean, I feel as if the Constitution would have put in place things like that to protect the people, right?
Well,
so I mean, like,
okay. So let me respond to you. I think that there's an inherent obligation in the Constitution, right? I think the Constitution presents to our leaders an inherent obligation to access to national services across the archipelago.
Yes,
right?
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I think that divesting of these entities, these corporate entities or essential services to the private sector without strict or tight legislation and regulations that protect the consumer and in particular ensure equal and equitable access to said service, then you create an environment in which the administration does not live up to its constitutional obligation.
Yes, well,
right now, but unfortunately, I think that's at this point, all I could say is it's implied. I've done some constitutional work, and I can't say that there is an explicitly expressed obligation of the state to ensure, to maintain entities, or to ensure equal and equitable access to these services across the archipelago. With Cable Bahamas as an example, we could see that they started off this venture by promising, and I think they've said these words out loud, that they intend to offer this service, to make it accessible across the archipelago. But we've seen in practice them continually negotiate away from that promise, right?
Yes.
And so I think that there is an issue to be addressed, but it takes the public, it takes demanding that the state, these administrators, live up to that. I call it, I want to say it's explicit, you know, but I'll be conservative and say an
definitely,
implicit
definitely
obligation.
Yeah, I agree with you, see, but the thing I think you missed out too is aside from, because like you said, their job and their duty is to make sure that it is equally available to everyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I totally agree with that, but I think the part you missed out was that I feel as if that they were supposed to still get our input. You know what I mean?
Like, right. Well, hold on, Hugo. Let me. That's one part. The second part is I would argue that there is a constitutional breach by successive administrations, and they explain it away like this: well, you elected me to make decisions on your behalf, and the Constitution does not say that.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't think it permits that. And hold on. What the political parties do on a political class, but more importantly, party supporters that want to be a part of a political class to shore that up, right?
Yes, ma'am.
When in fact, the government or the administration can't just go to its party supporters and determine what policy should be. They must engage the public.
Yes, ma'am. You see, because I mean, the main reason why I'd mention it too, well, I mean, just on a common sense basis too, I mean, because if 10 individuals own a particular thing and it benefits the 10 individuals, and you put two or three individuals to look over this thing that belongs to the 10 of y'all, right? So the three individuals shouldn't be able to sell y'all things without talking to y'all about it, even though y'all get into permission to look over it and take care of it. They shouldn't just be able to sell without talking to y'all, without coming to y'all, et cetera, like I said before, especially if it's something that everyone depends upon, right? And the reason why I brought up is because I had mentioned the point on the eye-opener, and I just wanted to thank Dawn and his co-host, because they gave me a resounding yes. And I mean, it was a dismissive yes, like they say, yes, the politicians could do it, like, don't worry about it, you know what I mean, we can't do nothing. Yes, the answer is yes, they have it right. So what I wanted to do is that if Dawn is listening, or if anyone who knows Dawn from the eye-opener is listening, just like how Ms. Green asked a gentleman to produce the legislation so that he could prove his point or whatever the case would be, I wouldn't mind if Dawn or the gentleman could call in or give the legislation that gave them that ability to give that definite yes. You understand? Because I'm siding with C. Allen Johnson, with C. Allen, when he says that no, You know what I mean? But like I said before, I would appreciate it if Dawn from the Eye Opener or his guest who was on that day could call in and give us where we could find so I could solve this because, like I said before, I just want to know. You know what I mean? Because like I said before, I'm curious. So if Dawn from the Eye Opener or his guest listening or someone who know them, please tell them to give us that information. Thank you very much, Green. And you all always have a good show, man. You know? Hope you all have a good day, all right?
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Go ahead, Aaron. I think we have 3 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
I just wanted to comment. Do we have a good next caller?
No, no.
No, okay. I just want. I'm talking about Miracle Marijuana on the next side. There's Rasta, eh? So I shall wait. I shall wait. Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess we just have a couple of minutes. I'm going to respond to what the caller said, but go right back to the beginning to that part. Let me talk about it more in your hour. What is the intention of the legislation?
Yes.
And it's very important to read that. Separate from what the politicians told you their intention was in their manifestos, the campaign trail, in constituency meetings, all of that is just noise. What you really need to pay attention to is what the bill itself says. At the top of the bill, it says this is an act to do something. That's the most important part. I recall the energy, the celebration when Minnis first uttered those words that suggested that the FNM were seriously considering decriminalizing cannabis for recreational use among the public. And I felt like a killjoy because I was telling people, I don't know what y'all reading, but I'm not reading the same thing. And it's left people disappointed. It's created this state, or this, not, no pun intended, it's created this space where people, I'm sorry about that call. I just going to touch the button. My finger's on the button. Where people are disappointed because this is not what the government said it was going to do. Good morning, caller. Okay. Turn your radio down.
Just a minute, please.
Is Brayman?
Yeah, it's Brayman.
Morning, Brayman. Yeah. Brayman, we right at the end of the hour. We got
call on the other side, Brayman.
What I want to say, right? People could give the reason, right, why they want to do something, but if they don't give the intent, then they stay wrong. You can't put any and anything on the behavior people think the behavior people is that stupid. Reason and intent. If you're working like that, you're doing dirt. Thank you.
Thank you, Brayman. Well, I mean, every politician that talks about a bill should be able to discuss that bill thoroughly, what the intention is, what it is you're attempting to change, what circumstance requires a revision of the law, why these particular words are being removed, repealed, why the entire section is being replaced, what's the intention, what do you expect to happen, right? These are all things that any minister, cabinet minister, should be able to speak a new bill. And then when we see the debates or we hear the debates in the House, I wonder, what are y'all talking about? What do you use these opportunities for? Do you get to the government side, or are you just going to constantly politic, politic, politic? Anyway, on the other side of the hour, I will read these remaining texts. And we will get into a couple of stories on the other side. Thank you for tuning in to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.